Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I have something to report to you. It's nice, too. I shared with Shivra Maharaj the fact that I went over his 2002 Vyasa Puja offering to Prabhupada. And then I also asked him, what's this Jaimini's law of reference in that offering? And he said, without looking it up, that the particular, there's six laws, and one of them that he was referring to is a law that says that which is in a passage or a text or something, that which is mentioned at the beginning and mentioned at the end defines the essence of the subject and the dominating theme of that text or that book or that something. That's what he was referring to. And he indicated there's couple of others without looking them up off the top of his head. It was, if there's something that's repeated many times, then that carries special weight. Or that which is repeated most, because sometimes things are repeated, so that carries special weight. And it may be even explicitly stated that something is given emphasis. This is a main point, and there's embellishing points to illustrate the main point, so that's to be taken. Jaimini is the author, as you probably have some idea, of Karmakanda, the reading of the Vedas that teaches Karmakanda ideas. So we're continuing, and this is not going to be a really long extended class like some of our mornings. It's another section of Bhakti Sandarbha, Bhagavat Sandarbha. Jiva Goswami, it's not the immediate one following the one that we spoke about. The one immediately following where we ended up was his explanation of the word Nirguna. The Lord has no form or no qualities. And so he explains that, how we to understand. I mean, it has no material qualities, no material form. So then, continuing, it has been proved that the Lord is not material and has a form. It is not possible to prove this by logic through observed objects like pots, since they are destroyed by time, meaning that which is transcendental doesn't match that which is material. So if you try to understand transcendental by looking at or observing things that are material, you won't be able to understand it. You're going to reach the negation thing. The Lord has no form, because over here is form. It limits, form limits. This is the argument. It's part one of the arguments. As soon as you have form, it's limited, but the Brahman is unlimited, so the Absolute has no form. Definition by negation. And that which is, it's destroyed in time, and so you have something that's not destroyed in time has to have no form. So he's making the statement, it is not possible to prove that the Lord has a spiritual form that's not material by logic. And that shows that this is anuman, through sense perception of material objects that are destroyed in time. So now, after establishing the Lord's existence devoid of six transformations. Now that was in this earlier section. So what are the six transformations? We're familiar with these.
About
stays for some time. That's how Prabhupada puts it. He's saying it a little differently. Stays for some time. Produces byproducts. Dwindles, vanishes, and death. So, from the Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita 2.20 purport, here they are. So it's in the contrast to the soul. There's the body. The material body takes its birth from the womb of a mother's body, remains for some time, grows, produces effects, dwindles, and vanishes. So it grows. We skipped that one. Birth, stays for some time, grows, produces some byproducts or effects. That's Prabhupada's word in Bhagavad Gita. Produces some effects. You do stuff. And gradually dwindles and vanishes into oblivion. So those are the six. And the Lord's form is devoid of those six. He takes birth, but it's not the temporal one. It's eternal. And, you know, that's contradictory, right? Eternal birth. So read the sentence again. After establishing the Lord's existence devoid of six transformations, it is established that his sarup is complete. And then he gives a number of references. This is Brahma's Prayers, chapter 14. You are the one supreme soul, the supreme person, the oldest, the truth, self-manifested, unlimited, the beginning, eternal, indestructible, unlimited happiness, pure, full, without a second, free from upadis, designations, coverings, and deathless. And that was verse 23 from Brahma's Prayers, and then he goes back to the first verse of Brahma's Prayers. We've heard this one before. This form, having a complexion of a rain cloud, was already raised in the first verse, where it says, your transcendental body is dark blue like a new cloud. You can read, it's there, first verse. He refers to that specifically. So it has a color, and it has form, and it's not material. Commentary. That form is one, so he's now making reference to text 23, Eka. You are the one supreme soul. That form is one, Eka. The supreme shelter, Atma, of all others. So in Bhagavan Krishna is the shelter of all other forms. It was already said, this is now going back to text 18 of chapter 14. The focus is on 23 and he's just kind of building his case. So from verse 18 of the same chapter, Eko si, Eko asi, pra tamam. You are the first, the only one. It's said in 23, it's also said in 18. It will also be said at the final verse of the chapter, Krishna enam avehi tvam atmanam akhilatmanam. You should understand this Krishna, the shelter of all souls. So the one is the shelter of everything. He's one and the shelter of everything, of all others. Since you are Atma, you are existence, Satyaha. Now Sat can mean truth, but it could also mean existence. So he exists in that spiritual form. The chief resting place of existence is in you alone, because The existence of all other things depends on the existence of the Supreme Shelter. And then he makes reference to the first of the prayers of the demigods and sages to Krishna in the womb that starts Satyavratam Satyaparam. Satyavratam Satyaparam. O Lord, you are true to your promise and existence itself. So his promise to the demigods was he would come, and you're true to your promise, and you are existence itself, satya param. So param satyam dhimahi, right? Then he quotes, Jiva Goswami quotes Mahabharata. And similar, you know, a lot of satyas here. Satye pratishtata krishnaha, satyam atra pratishtatam, satyat satyam cha govindas, tasmat satyo hi namataha. Translation, Krishna satye pratishtata krishna. Krishna is fixed in the highest truth, and truth is fixed in him. Because all truth arises from him, Govinda is respected as truth or satya. Mahabharata. Then he goes back to the no transformation topic. So, in you there is no transformation. And it's repeated several times, so I'll just mention it now, and you'll become familiar with the word vikara, means transformation. There's another word that means transformation. It's often said, that Vyasadeva's teaching is Shakti Parinama Vada. Vada means doctrine of. Parinama, the transformation. So, of energy. So, Krishna, within Krishna is all energy. And existence, spiritual and material, is but a transformation of his different energies. Shakti and Shaktiman are not different. And then the Shakti is different. By various combinations, different things happen in the spiritual and the material realm. That's the doctrine or the teaching of Vyas. And then specifically, Jiva Goswami is the one who coined the phrase, achintya bhed abhed tattva. So in that transformation of energies, there's another detail. There's a relationship between those energies and the possessor of the energies. And that's a relationship of difference and non-difference simultaneously. And it's not just energies, it's his own expansions, Vishnu forms. They're different and non-different simultaneously. Everything that exists has that relationship with the rest or the repose or the shelter of everything. So back. In you there is no transformation. Then he gives the six again. Birth, existence after birth, growth, transformation, decline, and death. Then he's going to go through each one of them. You are the cause. Adyaha. Again, this reference to text 18 of Brahma's prayers. Eko asi pratamam, eko asi pratamam. You are one, the first. Therefore, you have no birth. So that's the first of the transformation ones. You have no birth. Other things are born from you, but you have no birth because you're the first. Pratyak sattvam harer janmana vikara There's the word vikara again, transformation. Katan chana, from Padma Purana. The Lord has no birth, janmana, seen by material eyes and transformations. Skanda Purana says, quote, not knowing that the Lord has an indestructible body of bliss, the ignorant impose on him a material body made of five elements subject to birth. So we know the Bhagavad Gita says about that. Those people are mudhas. Manushim tanamashritam. They think that he's assumed a human-like form, made of matter. And then the Mayavadis, they don't say, it's just very, very, very subtle, refined. It's the most subtle, refined matter you can get. But he's got a material body. Because all there is Brahman. And Brahman covered becomes Krishna. So it's not surrendered to Krishna, it's to the unborn Brahman within Krishna. Because if anything born, it's illusion. It's just like, that's their doctrine. So we're getting another. The commentary continues. The cause of his being first is stated. So he's first, so what's the cause? Well, there's no cause. He has form of a human, Purushaha, and that form, though old, is new. It exists before effects or transformations begin. Referring to the Upanishads, Aitariya Upanishad. Atmaivedam agra asit purusha vidaha. Purusha vidaha. The Lord existed previous in the form of a man. Thus, existence after birth, that's of the transformations, there's six, it's transformation number two, that is, existence after birth is refuted because there's no birth. Next. His form is eternal, nityaha. Though he has a medium-sized form, he is perfect. Purnaha. Thus growth is refuted. That's number three out of the transformations. You have an eternal form of happiness. Ajasra. Sukkaha. You have an eternal form of happiness. Thus transformation is denied. You are without decay. Aksharaha. This indicates he does not decrease in any way. He is without death, amritaha. Thus all six transformations are denied in the Lord. The cause of his being perfect is described. You are unlimited and without a second. Now that's going back to this verse that he wants to talk about. Text 23, Brahma's prayers. You are unlimited and without a second. Ananta Advayaha. You are beyond limitations of space and time. You cannot be limited by another object. This is upadis. You cannot be limited by another object since everything arises from your Shakti. And without that Shakti, nothing else exists. So upadi, we're familiar in ISKCON with this, you know, sarva upadi vinir muktam. And upadi means a designation like, you know, man, woman, or American Indian, or fat or skinny, or male or female, or, you know, human and non-human, and it's a designation. That's the use of it that we have commonly. And the classic sense of upadhi is something that appear, it covers, and the covering appears to be the thing, but it's not. That, so the example given is a pond, or a body of water, a puddle, or a pond, or a lake. And, you know, just beneath that body of water, puddle, or pond, or lake, it's earth. So you look and you say, that's a pond, that's a lake, that's a puddle. But it's an upadhi, it's not. It's a covering. So Krishna has no upadhis. And the reasoning is, everything comes from him, so I can have something covering him if it comes from him. It's him. It's him. It's his. I'll read it again. The cause of his being perfect is described. You are beyond limitations of space and time. You cannot be limited by another object, since everything else arises from your Shakti, and without that Shakti, nothing else exists. Then, next topic. The result of four types of actions, so there's some technical terms, I'm not so familiar with these, producing, attaining, changing, there's vikriti, which is the same root as transformation, and sanskara, purifying. So, we'll hear it several times, but, you know, utpati. Utpati means producing. The results of four types of actions are denied in order to state the Lord is without death. That's the final one of the six transformations, is death. So for him, there's no death, and his approach to explain that is, there are four types of actions which don't exist in him, so how can there be death? Because death means a termination of actions. It's very logical. Say it again. Death means termination of action, but in him, there's no actions, so how can you have death? And then there's four types of actions. Vedic idea. So one is producing something. So producing, or utpati, is denied by the term adhyaha. You're the first. So you're not being produced by something or producing something. You're just fundamental existence. Okay, that's one type of action, producing something. Then another is prapti, obtaining or attaining. The attainment is denied by Swayam Jyoti. Swayam Jyoti, you know what, we know what Jyoti is. And Swayam Jyoti, it's self-revealing. He doesn't need someone to disclose himself or becomes disclosed to others, because he's Swayam Jyoti. He's self-revealing and self-satisfied. Swayam Jyoti. So he doesn't have to attain anything. Show himself, become something, find happiness. Is the prapti, attaining something, is not an activity of the Lord. So what else? Producing, attaining. The next one is vikriti, or change. Same as vikara, same root. Change, or vikriti, is denied by mukta upaditaha. Mukta upadita, there's the upadi word. He's free from coverings. So there's no transformation. He's the unchanging and whatever may be an upadi, like, you know, water of a puddle might, when it rains, it gets bigger, or when the sun shines, it evaporates. So the upadi can change, but Krishna has no upadis. So there's no change. And purification, that's another action. So mode of goodness action, try to purify. But or the Sanskrit word he's used is sangskara. Purification is denied by Niranjanaha. Niranjanaha. Maybe some of you know Niranjan Swami. Niranjanaha means spotless. There's no need to purify something that's spotless. Then he circles back and does it again. Attainment is caused by action or knowledge, or two types of attainment. By action or knowledge. Attainment by action is denied by the word Atma, since the Lord is spread everywhere. Paramatma is everywhere. So you didn't have to attain anything by action. And what about attainment by knowledge? So I am Jyoti. Knowledge comes from within. He is knowledge. Remember that Shankaracharya fellow that was saying Brahman is knowledge. But what's that knowledge resting upon? Krishna is all knowledge. So any knowledge out there, call it Brahman or call it whatever you want, it's resting on Krishna. Then he gives some additional scriptural references. There's three. The first one is Canto 2, Chapter 9. That's the chapter where the Chaturshloki verses, Krishna reveals to Brahma the highest truth. So Krishna says to Brahma, quote, this is 2:9:22. Seeing my planet reveals all knowledge, and by my mercy, you previously heard my instructions when you were all alone and performed the greatest austerity. He heard tapa and he did austerity. So you already had that contact with my mercy and you followed nicely. So that entitles you, I'm going to reveal to you my spiritual abode, which he does. The commentary says, quote, the verse states that by the Lord's mercy alone do you attain anything. You will realize, anubhavaha, what I desire you to realize. What is that? You will see my planet. And then to support that commentary, he refers to Narayana Adhyatma. The Lord who is eternally invisible is seen by his own Shakti. Then another scriptural reference is from the 11th canto, Uddhava Gita. Krishna speaks to Uddhava. And in speaking to Uddhava, he indicates that Uddhava is one of his vibhutis. What's a vibhuti? Vibhuti Yoga, chapter 10, right? Yeah, opulence. Opulence in this world. It's Krishna's. So Krishna's everywhere, and one of the ways that he's everywhere is he manifests himself within things that are wonderful. So Uddhava is one of them. Krishna says in Uddhava Gita, the Lord says to Uddhava that he is also a vibhuti of the Lord, Vasudevo Bhagavatam. Those among those entitled to the name Bhagavan, I am Vasudev. This is 11, chapter 16. And then later in that chapter, these vibhutis are all transformations of the mind. Doesn't say his mind, doesn't say it's not his mind. Continuing, Jiva Goswami writes, that is true. He also says in the same chapter, 11, 16, 37. It's a long verse. These are vibhutis. Similar to chapter 10. I am form, taste, aroma, touch, and sound, ahankara, the mahatattva, earth, water, fire, air, and sky, the 11 senses, the living entity, prakriti, the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance, and Brahman. I am all these items, along with knowledge of them and the determination of truth resulting from that knowledge. The word param, this is now going back to text 23 of chapter 14. The word param indicates Brahman. Param satyam dhimahi, but there's Bhagavan. Because Brahman is within Bhagavan. That is included in material elements. Brahman is within material elements, and Krishna's, it's how his vibhutis work. Thus the Lord has nothing to attain. He does not, quote, become a vibhuti. Then going back, transformation or vikriti takes place by removing a covering on an object, like threshing rice to remove the husk. That's a transformation example, removing a covering on an object. The Lord does not need this, since he is not associating with any covering. He is free of coverings, mukta upaditaha. Similar, vishuddha jnana murtaye, he is a form of pure knowledge. Or vishuddha vijnana ganam, which is our verse 10:37:22. Yay. That's Narada speaking to Krishna about what he, how he views Krishna. You are pure condensed knowledge. The Shankara sannyasi should read Bhagavatam. More references. This is now Bhishma, chapter 1, canto 1, chapter 9. His armor shone brightly, pierced shot slightly by my sharp arrows. That's Bhishma Dev speaking about Krishna. Such statements are descriptions of pastimes involving illusion, since they involve contrary elements. Makes another reference, chapter 77 of Canto 10. Such is the account given by some sages, O wise king, but those who speak in this illogical way are contradicting themselves, having forgotten their previous statements. Skanda Purana says, Vishnu, who is without material qualities and undiminished, who cannot be pierced, is beyond capture. Mother Jasoda captured and Bhishma pierced. Who cannot be dried up is shown to be pierced by arrows, bound up and bleeding. The Lord, bewildering the demons, showing the devatas his medium size, human form, plays among them. He does not show this wounded form to the liberated. Skanda Purana. Since Bhishma was on the side of the demons during the battle, The Lord made this appearance of being pierced. Now Bhishma regrets this, lamenting as if it was a bad dream. Last little section. Sanskara, or making an object perfect, is done by removing some impurity or adding something. Because the Lord is complete, adding something is rejected. Because he is spotless, Niranjanaha, removing impurities is rejected. He is a form of pure knowledge. Brahma speaks. So that's the Bhagavat Sandarbha Anuchade number 60. And that's it for this morning. For getting a little rigorous look at what Narada is saying to Krishna, or how are we to understand what Narada says to Krishna in different ways, how are we to understand the nature of Bhagavan, who has form, but it's not a material form. I mean, we can accept that, it's not a big problem, but what are the implications of that? We probably haven't considered so carefully. And it gives us, you know, as mentioned, this gives us a clearer picture of what our goal is, or who it is that we're taking shelter of, and why he is a worthy person to take shelter of, or place to take shelter of. This is Sunday morning, and Monday morning we'll have class at 6:30. And it's for the devotees in China, because 6:30 our time is 7 p.m. their time. 7:30 p.m. their time. And we'll talk about Radharani tomorrow morning. And then again this evening, and then again Radhashtami, and with some different topics about Radharani. Little change of pace. Then we'll get back to Bhagavan. Let's see if there's some discussion.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. After hearing these lectures, you know, you keep reminding us that our goal should be clear, whose shelter we're supposed to take and who we should be attached and attracted to.
Mm-hmm.
So in, you know, my case, I find, you know, I'm not so attached or to Krishna, but rather I feel more attachment to like my mentor or spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, because, you know, because I can interact with them, I can, and Krishna, you know, just all this seems like really unfathomable. Yeah, just, so is that okay to have such attachment in the beginning? And
it's more than okay. It's perfect. It's you're fully normal. 98.6. And those sources will point to the Lord, because their function is to deliver him and awaken that attraction for he who's unfathomable. That's their function. On the one hand, Krishna is remote, thus unfathomable and beyond the senses and so many, beyond the mind and so many things. At the same time, he's very near. And he's the goal. So, you know, the goal is far away, but the goal is very close by. And so it's consciousness. It's not physical distance. Okay.
Maharaj, this question is from yesterday's class. So we are hearing about reality and illusion. We are put into illusion because of our forgetful of Krishna. So my middle son, you know, he's not very favorable towards Krishna consciousness. And his, you know, his thought process, or he says that, you know, Krishna... Why did Krishna put me here? Why, you know, if he's so kind, you know, why am I here? Like, that is his thought process. And I try to give him this example of a parent teaching the child, you know, if they've done something wrong, but because of the affection and love, because it's something we have chosen to turn our back towards Krishna, but he doesn't seem to accept that. So is, or how to help him, or is there something else that can be said to help? He's 12.
I'm thinking of two options. One, you know, a young boy may not be able to relate to, maybe not. I guess it's a city. Palatine is a city. So there's probably, like most places, established something or other. So once upon a time, there wasn't Palatine. It was just forest or whatever it was. Or, you know, where Indians live, and they said, get out, we want to take over. So, but then it became, you know, established in such and such state. So it's not like the people who is the settlers said, hey, I got a great idea. What's that? Let's form a place, we'll call it Palatine, and we're going to build a prison. Hey, that's a great idea. Let's start an establishment and build a prison, because that's like really where the fun is. It's not where it starts. But the settlers know they're going to be people that are peaceful, law-abiding, and then there's going to be others that are lawbreakers and not very peaceful and disrupting the peace. So something needs to be done so those people don't go out of existence, but they're constrained and not harming other people and ideally reformed. Does that mean that the settlers were mean or they were lacking in kindness? It's just there's some portion of the population, the lawbreakers, and it's disruptive for the peace and tranquility of others. So it's not their malice. It's just the reality of rebellion to a peaceful, smooth functioning. And then otherwise, those same, they're protecting them. they're like helping. So, like that, there's a prison house, and this is a prison house. It's for people that are rebellious. That doesn't mean Krishna is lacking kindness. It means we made some choices, and here we are. In a Durga's place, Durga means prison. That's where we are. She's in charge. She's the prison warden. We have to take responsibility for the choices we make. And here we are. You don't blame it on somebody else that somebody else made some choices for you. You make choices. You like your, you know, you're making a choice of how you're going to regard the person that facilitated the prison house. You know, he gave power to Durga and Durga did her thing. And here we are. We can blame the prison warden. We can blame the person that made the prison instead of ourselves. Or the second idea is supposing in school there's a bully. Now, what should be done with the bully? Just let him go because you're kind, right? Would you want something to be done with that bully? Or he maybe not be bullying you. Suppose he's beating up on another kid. And this guy just goes around and beats up on little kids. What are you going to do? Oh, just be kind and... It's not okay. You don't put him out of existence, but you try to reform him. Is that unkind to try to reform? So this is the place for reformation. It's not unkind. It's not unfair. It's not unjust. So you can say, well, I'm not a bully. I'm not like that. I don't bully people. But you know, understand the comparison. Some things that are disruptive of peace, tranquility, and harmony, it's, you know, those things have been done by each one of us, myself included, and all the rest of us. And the percentage of living entities is really small compared to the living entities that don't do that. And we're in this minority group. Well, he's unkind. Anyway. Anyone else?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. As you were speaking about this nirguna and the form doesn't have vikaras, I was actually thinking about this, you know, Mayavadis, why don't they get it? And you were actually saying that fellow have to study Srimad Bhagavatam. So I was just trying to understand, Guru Maharaj, if we systematically hear this, it actually seems very clear. I mean,
yeah.
I was thinking it's not even so much devotion or something, even from a neutrality perspective we hear, it's like so clear. So for these impersonalists or so-called Mayavadis, is it because of their disposition?
Yes.
Or they don't even approach these kind of sections?
It bounces. Mm-hmm. It's water off a duck's back. It doesn't, it just rolls. Because they have a predisposition. I mean, one of the verses is Param Satyam Dimahi. And Satyam and Dimahi. And you know, Satyam means and Dimahi means, and Param means Brahman. Meditation on Brahman. Then the other parts you just interpret, you know, some way or other because you have a predisposition. You know, people that are in denial about something, or they have a blind spot about something, and everyone else can see except that person that has the blind spot about that something. And it goes under the rug, and it just doesn't exist. It's something else. If it comes out of the rug, it's not this, it's that. The problem is over there, not over here. It's a predisposition. They're averse. They have an aversion. And they have a place of shelter. That's a philosophical word juggling place of shelter that says, this is the highest truth. And I'm after the highest truth. Okay?
Just a follow-up, Guru Maharaj. So even though this is abundantly available, particularly I'm thinking here with the book distribution and Sankirtan, still if one is with that kind of a mindset and disposition, it's very difficult for them to come. On the other hand, I'm thinking for each of us, we may have a little bit of that tendency.
Sure. Yeah.
So that can be purified by the hearing gradually.
You better hope so. Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. One clarification. From this today's lecture, there are no transformations in the Lord. Is it because, I mean, we see a lot of transformations, I mean, what, from his energy's perspective, is it because the example you gave, the upadis, because he doesn't have any other upadis.
Yes.
So that is the key.
He's the substrata, there's no covering. Yep.
One question, Maharaj. There are a lot of devotees when they, I mean, like new people are, when we try to read Bhagavatam or something, I mean, one of the couple is maybe interested and the other one maybe not so favorable. So that's we see very often. So what can be done other than maybe giving prasadam and all to the other person? I mean, what else can be done to get them closer to?
Good qualities and genuine bhakti. That's they're one's attractive and the other is just powerful. And how did Prabhupada do? It was his purity. Purity is the force. And he was very kind. He was very sensitive to people's mindset and perfect gentleman. That's attractive. It's very rare. Yeah.
This question is from Hema Suryavanshi Mataji. Sometimes we feel dullness and negativity. What are the ways to
dullness in what?
Negativity. Negative.
Dullness and negativity. Okay, thank you.
What are the ways to come out?
Krishna bhakti. Your question is to come out. It's not just like, how do you manage, it's how do you come out. Turn on the light. And the light switch is Krishna bhakti. Next.
This question is from Srujana Raghupatruni Mataji. Oh, sorry, Sucharita Mataji. So, the question is, my understanding is keeping Krishna at the center, even in material pursuits or pursuits as one's dharma, is Aropa Siddha. Is it the right understanding?
Where did she come up with that phrase? It's correct.
sent the document yesterday.
And you forwarded it to others?
No, she's the one.
Okay. There was a question yesterday, if you remember, something like this. Could you expand some ways by which one can be Krishna conscious in the workplace? Something like that. So I gave some explanation, and then I sent her a document that's from Jiva Goswami's Bhakti Sandarbha, and he's explaining the stages of bhakti. In the beginning stage of bhakti, one doesn't have attachment to Krishna, and one has attachment to the temporary. So there's a teaching that Jiva Goswami presents in Bhakti Sandarbha of Arupa Siddhi Bhakti. And those of you that want that document, you can ask. He's got a copy. In principle, it teaches, by the performance of something like this, by the performance of Nishkam Karma Yoga, so it's offering the fruits, but from the performance of offering fruits, one may come to the stage of offering the activity, not just the fruits. But when you have a worldly life, how do you offer the activity if it's a worldly activity? Like going to the office or whatever it is. It's Arupa Siddhi Bhakti. It's a preliminary stage where you not just offer the fruit, like give a donation to the temple or something, but you offer the activity to Krishna. And it's the article describes it. And then a second reference is from Prema Vivarta by Jagatananda Pandit. He describes the same thing more in terms of deity worship. It's because, the context is worshiping a deity in the beginning stages. It may be like this. But the same principle applies to, all the rest of what we do. We're in the beginning stages of bhakti. So it's at beginning, it's, let's just turn it the other way around. And bhakti, one can say bhakti includes all the other forms of yoga, or the other forms of yoga have some tinge of bhakti, otherwise they're not yoga. So when you're offering the fruits to Krishna, yad karoshi, yad asnasi, that verse, that's karma yoga, you're offering the results or the fruit of the activity to Krishna. But it becomes bhakti by dedicating that activity to Krishna, even though it's of the material realm. So now her question specifically, read it again.
So the question is, my understanding is keeping Krishna at the center even in the material pursuits,
yes,
or pursuits as one's dharma is Arupa Siddha.
Yes.
Is this right?
Yes. But it's the consciousness of dedication of self. And self includes your activity. The holistic picture of self is not just the soul, it's the activities of the soul working through matter. And you dedicate that to Krishna, not just the results. Okay?
And these questions are from Sanchari Mataji. The first question is not her question, somebody else asked her. Is our process attainment by activity or knowledge?
Why separate? Our process is attainment by devotion, which brings knowledge and detachment, and through the activities of bhakti. But so, it's the bhakti principle that is active, but it's not just active. You can ring a bell and wave an incense stick, and it's not just the activity brings realization of Krishna. It's bhakti. That's our process.
This question is from Sanchari Mataji. Thinking about Brahma stealing the cowherd boys, Lord Brahma sees Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes once a day. So does this mean he gets bewildered every day for the sake of pastimes?
Why not?
Or is it more natural where every so often he forgets?
Next.
Guru Maharaj, I had a question about the upadhi. Whole thing about Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. There was this question from a devotee who was saying that if Kalau Shudra Shambhava, everybody is Shudra in Kali Yuga, then who will act or who will be a Kshatriya? Because I was born into a Kshatriya family, so the qualities are there. But who is a Kshatriya then? Like, that's
well,
the question.
Well, born in a Kshatriya family doesn't mean qualities are there. So maybe I'm missing something. If everyone's born, from the other end of the question, what to do if everyone's born Shudra or lower? The answer is the bhakti process. It's specific in Canto 1, Chapter 2, how those qualities become awakened by the bhakti process. And then what our nature is becomes revealed. Even their psychophysical nature, because Shudra is Shudra, and psychophysical nature may be more elevated based upon, you know, our upbringing and our past lives and so forth, so nature will come out. So that is to say, someone can be trained A, the awakening of the dormant capacity of Krishna consciousness, B, some training to be of a quality like a Brahmana or a quality like a Kshatriya. So it's the bhakti process plus training. Then from the Shudra group, one can become trained. But it requires training and requires bhakti. I think that answers the question. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.